T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, I've always said no, and you know, part of it is we have a surplus, $1.5 billion, and our budget reserves are at an all-time high. But also, I'm raising the warning flag that we have to watch our spending. We're up 39% in the last 8 years, and that's a huge number. And if we have an economic downturn and the spending numbers keep going up, we're going to have less taxes coming in, and they'll have to raise even more taxes.
That is Senator Paul Gazelka, Majority House Speaker, on with us earlier today.
Senate Majority Leader.
Thank you, Senate Majority Leader. Sorry. On with us earlier
today. You just gave him a promotion, I think.
I got it. On with us earlier today, talking about the governor's budget proposal. I mean, the big thing here is that the gas tax, the governor
20
wants,
cents. And then index it to inflation afterwards. 20 cents over 2 years.
And he says that's going to pay. It would add $11 billion over 10 years to fund transit, road, and bridge improvements. And Senator Gazelka says, no, we don't want that. We want to rein in our spending. We already have a surplus. And I imagine he proposes using part of that surplus to pay for our roads and bridges. But in the budget plan, there's lots of other ways to spend the surplus or other tax revenue. Investments in education, $733 million for pre-K through high school, as well as $158 million, according to the governor is proposing, for higher education. He wants to expand access of Minnesota health care program that's called OneCare. Mm-hmm. It's only residents below a certain income qualify now. He wants to change that up. He wants to give $44 million to expand access to child care and put $70 million toward the expansion of broadband, which, by the way, Senator Gazelka did say today that he is in favor of expanding broadband and giving access to more people in outstate. And that was where he saw some areas of agreement.
Yeah, a fair amount of common ground. Mm-hmm. But no question that Governor Wall's big initiative when it comes to investment in education, $733 million pre-kindergarten through high school, $158 million for higher education. Special education costs, recruitment, retention of teachers of color. And also Governor Walz would continue funding pre-kindergarten access for 4,000 four-year-olds across the state.
We know that education is near and dear to the governor's heart. Yep. The question is, I mean, this gas tax, Paul Gazelka said, it's a non-starter for me. Yet the art of negotiation is the governor asks for the moon. The senator says, we're not going to give you the moon. We're going to give you this. And hopefully there is some middle ground. And I hope the Senate will be willing to have some kind of middle ground, some kind of. And if the governor's, you know, if he really wants some kind of tax, a gas tax, then hopefully there is some wiggle room and it won't be my all and your nothing and vice versa. The question becomes, do you agree? Do you want to see the gas tax? We do have a surplus, but do you want to see the gas tax? And, you know, obviously for use in to fund roads and bridges. And then, again, not only is it a tax right now, but it's also in perpetuity to keep up with inflation after the 2 years of the tax.
And again, Senator Gazelka was pretty adamant. He said, look, I don't have all the details yet. I have, you know, we haven't dug into the
right.
We haven't gone into the weeds. But also some concern about Minnesota's competitiveness when it comes to attracting and even retaining corporations, companies of all sizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any indication that there may be an increase in taxes, state taxes for corporations, mm-hmm. would be a concern to Senator Gazelka and I think others, not only on the Republican side, but I would surmise on the Democrat side as well. And again, the whole conformity thing, the fact that Minnesota's, you know, tax laws not in sync with what's happening at a federal level, that presents something of a challenge. So
yet
we'll see.
Are home to many Fortune 100 companies.
Yes, we are.
And they are thriving here.
And they're here for a lot of reasons, even in spite of the higher taxes, because of the quality of life, because of the things that
The labor force, our education systems, our schools. I mean, they're here for a lot of the life that
our,
we that,
our
that is
lakes,
offered here.
The balance, the fact that we're not Chicago.
Maybe they're here for the fact that we haven't had a gas tax in a while, but it's probably coming. You want a gas tax? Is that a good way to pay for the roads and bridges and maybe some of the other stuff? 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226.
The one thing that we didn't bring up with Senator Gazelka is that my understanding is that the gas tax has not, in Minnesota, has not kept up with inflation.
It has not. That's the in perpetuity. Once we get to the level where we're supposed to be, according to the governor, then it will start keeping up. So we have had a nice break, I guess, where we're not on par. There's no parity with the inflation.
One of our listeners says the gas tax is a losing proposition. It hits low-income people the hardest. Cars are getting higher and higher mileage. There are more and more electric cars. Unsustainable. Governor Walz is a teacher. He should understand that concept.
Scott's in Oakdale. Jump in here, Scott. What do you think?
I disagree with it. And the reason why is, as Paul was just alluding to, with regards to back when gas was starting to really scare $4 a gallon, kind of kicks you into a recession.
It does.
A couple of things that really work well, like you go down to Dallas, and there's some things that they've done down there, like taxing food staples, you know, like the flour and sugar, and they tax clothes. And these are things that can you can control as an individual. You can control how much spending on clothes you want to have. But when you look at a gas tax, when it's there's really nothing you can do. You got to drive to work every day. Some people drive an exorbitant amount, and it just really can devastate a lot of people's, you know, budgets, and really can kind of, you know, I just worry about a recession.
I worry about that too, Scott. And I remember during the recession, during 2006, 2007, I mean, we were seeing gas prices. I was out of work, so I was hurting. $3.50, $3.70. Yeah. And that's what, I mean, I don't know that this would force us into the recession, but certainly the prices, the gas prices were highest during the recession, and I felt it every time I filled up.
But I think Tim brings up a good point, this notion of a consumption tax. You know, maybe there's a smarter way to do it.
Right.
You know,
luxury goods.
Gas is not a luxury.
It's
you
not.
You need gas to get from point A to point B to get to work. So I see his point. Yeah.
Jacob's in North St. Paul. Jump in here, Jacob. You love the gas tax or you hate it?
Oh, I hate it. Don't like it at all. I don't make a ton of money. I've been a private school teacher for almost 15 years right out of college. My family, I've got several kids and my wife, and we get by, you know, I like the last caller said, you know, I drive to work every day. When it was back in the day, 2006, 2007, 2008, and just seeing the $3.75, it was kind of horrifying.
Horrifying.
You're trying to stretch her. But that also brings up a point as a private school teacher for many years, I still am just a little befuddled. I know that there's money can do certain things. You can stretch, you know, you can, I find that having worked in the private sector and having worked in private schools for that long, there's just a ton you can do. We're always stretching our dollars, and it feels like, how do private schools, Catholic schools, how are they able to stretch their dollars as far as they are without any government subsidies? And yet the amount that the public schools get keeps growing and growing and growing, and it's never enough. I just that idea is foreign to me. I think education, from what I've seen, as kids are getting, you know, as things change, as culture changes, I don't see that it's not always the amount of money we spend, but on the formation of the kids and how the character of the kids. You can do a lot with kids of good character because they're more open to learning. They're more open to being. You're having a respectful dialogue with adults, and I just this idea of throwing money at these things and in the hopes that they're going to fix the problem seems foreign to a lot of us who work in private schools.
Quality
thanks
over
for the call,
quantity,
Jacob.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob.
I think that maybe that was a little off the subject matter, but the reason that, you know, Catholic schools and private schools can stretch dollars is because people pay to go to them. You know, I don't pay to send my kids, other than to my tax dollars, but I don't pay $10,000 a year for a kid to send them to private school. So for sure, private schools are going to have a whole lot more money to stretch dollars with because people pay to go there.
And also, a lot of private schools don't have all of the programs and even the mandates
that they have
that
in
public schools have,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe you don't have a band. Maybe you don't have a lacrosse team.
Or if you do, the parents pay extra for that.
Yeah.
So you can have it, but it's incumbent upon the parents to pay. So I think that's a little bit of apples and oranges. Don's in White Bear Lake. Jump in here, Don.
Hey, thanks, guys. First, I just want to say I'm a big supporter of public schools. I know our conversation now is about the gas tax, so I'm going to take a shot at that. I'm a little surprised that this Democratic governor is potentially proposing, I don't know the details, taxes that are pretty regressive. On the populace, they hit the folks at the in the lower income levels, the middle income levels, harder proportionally compared to folks in the higher levels. So I'm really interested to hear the details about what Governor Walz is going to propose, and I hope you all can comment about that. It's a bit surprising given his background. Thank you.
All right.
I mean, he makes a good point. It hits everybody, I think, because everybody does drive, but yes. Those that are taxi drivers or Uber drivers or people who have to drive to get to a job, yeah, it does hit a lot of us harder than.
But again, that's just the opening salvo. I'd be amazed if it winds up passing at least 20 cents.
Right. It's fairly high.
Then again, I'm continually amazed.
We do want to talk about snow, but want to sneak in Sam's call. Final, get your say in here, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah, hi, Paul and Jordana. I Governor Walz is just oblivious to there's a surplus of what, $1.6 billion? What is the projected surplus going to increase from this tax fiscal year of 2018? They don't even have that number included in his proposal. And second of all, he's going to tax the small guy. That's going to put us back into a recession. And I don't know why his whole attitude is tax and spend. I mean, if he wants to do that, legalize marijuana and then let the potheads pay for it, and I'll hang up and listen.
I like that idea, Sam. I mean, that's true. And that's what Paul was saying, a luxury tax. Things you don't need, or the first caller was saying clothes.
There consumption, things, a consumption tax.
That's right.
I mean, to me, that makes more sense. Don't hit people mm-hmm. with the essentials.
Because we have to drive. We have to get to work.
Yeah. But if you want to go out and pay stupid money for something, okay, right. Yeah, maybe you should be taxed on that.
It's 5:23. Snowpocalypse 2019 next. I'm really excited. I'm going to see A Bronx Tale tonight at the Orpheum. In fact, we're going to have some of the stars of A Bronx Tale on tomorrow at 4:10. At 4:10. So we're going to chat with them. I can't wait to see the show tonight.
We can take a break from Snowpocalypse,
Snowmageddon. Well, I'll be hiding.
Snowacade 2019.
I'll be hiding
batten
in
down
the
hatches.
So when I get out of the show at, like, I don't know, 9:30, 10, whatever it is.
Run. Just run as fast as you can. Try to get home. Run. No, it's snow. It's Minnesota. We don't live in Guam. You know, it snows here. And anybody who doesn't know it snows here did not do their research.
I know. All right, how much? When are we starting?
4 to 8.
Snow day. I'm already getting texts from the kids.
The biggest, yeah, I can't predict what your school administrators.
Why not?
How they will feel when they wake up. Maybe they had a bad breakfast. Maybe they argued with their wife or their husband and they're ticked off.
Maybe they're just tired of my kids.
That could be too. Yeah. I think we'll wake up to 2 by the end of the afternoon tomorrow. I think we'll have 4 to 8. I think 6 is probably a good average, give or take an inch.
Nice, light, sweet snow, slushy, icy. What are we talking about?
It's going to be a little wetter than recent storms. It's going to be in the
mid-20s.
Yeah, pretty good snowball.
Snowmen.
Igloo building snow. And it may be the biggest snowfall from a single storm so far this season. Back on February 6th and 7th, we had a total of 6.3. We're going to be close to that. And if we get, 6 inches tomorrow, first of all, we will set a record for the snowiest February on record. All we need is 4 inches tomorrow to break the old record set back in 1962, 26.5. And we'll easily do that. I think we're going to have 28 inches for the month by the end of the day tomorrow. If we pick up even just a couple of inches over the weekend, which looks likely, Saturday night and Sunday, another southern storm brushes us. If we get 30 inches of snow for the month, that's only happened 10 times in Minnesota, in the Twin Cities, since 1885. Pretty rare to get 30 inches in 1 month. Much more likely to happen in December or January or even March. It's pretty rare. I can't see any instance where we had 30 inches or more in February.
So can you look into your crystal ball and tell me that in March it's going to be like 50 and sunny every weekend?
I think by the end of the month we'll be in a couple of days near 50. At some point, the pendulum will swing back in the other direction. It's not imminent. It's going to stay colder than average the next two weeks.
All right. March 12th.
That's March 12th.
Put it on your calendar. March 12th.
And again, you're going to Arizona?
Yeah.
That's the day he leaves.
Yeah.
And that happens like clockwork?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Like I said yesterday,
I call it the El Daño effect.
El Daño.
Yeah. So
if you could leave now, that'd be helpful.
Believe me, if I could change the ticket, I could change the ticket, I would be out of here right now. Yeah.
I'll drop you off.
Drop you off at the airport.
Drop you off the airport, Dan.
I'll pay for your Uber.
So El Daño doesn't kick in until March 12th. That's a long time.
So, yeah, by the end of March, we'll see 40s, maybe a 50. We'll see our first thunderstorm probably within 30 to 40 days. Not sure about severe weather.
Bring it, baby.
But and again, having all this snow, not only does it make the snow lovers happy, and there are a fair number of snow
lovers.
I'll
go snowboarding this weekend as long as it's not 30 below. I mean, if it's 20, that's perfect.
Think of all the body shops that are in the money.
You know,
okay?
Good for them.
And they've had some bad years. They've had some bad winters. Think of all these snowmobile dealers that finally can sell snowmobiles or snowblowers.
Mm-hmm.
Most winters, it's touch and go. So happy for those people and for the rest of us that are just trying to grit our teeth and get through this. Mm-hmm. This too shall pass.
What's that line from Happy for Danny, Sad for Johnny? Happy for Danny, Sad for Johnny. From Johnny Dangerously. I got to find that. Did you ever see Johnny Dangerously?
Have you been drinking?
Best movie ever. Not yet. Not yet.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Going to be at the
just
theater.
Checking.
It's
I'm not judging.
Johnny Dangerously. That's a great movie. That's
okay.
A great movie. Rent it tonight. And when you're stuck inside from Snowpocalypse tomorrow, stream Johnny Dangerously.
Okay.
Absolutely. 5:31. When we get back, who's in, who's out? Elizabeth Warren now wants universal child care paid for by the wealth tax. Let's talk presidents and hear about Amy's town hall, Amy Klobuchar's town hall. She was magnificent. We'll play some sound in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hi, I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president, and I'm asking you today to be part of an unprecedented grassroots campaign of 1 million active volunteers in every state in our country. Our campaign is not only about defeating Donald Trump, the most dangerous president in modern American history. It is not only about winning the Democratic nomination and the general election. Our campaign is about transforming our country and creating a government based on the principles of economic, social, racial, and environmental justice.
Bernie Sanders announcing he is running for president.
It's like deja vu all over again.
Sounding a lot like Larry David there. So I'm looking forward to Saturday Night Live.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Larry David.
I'm Bernie.
And then there was Amy. I thought she was magnificent on CNN last night. And I'm the one who said she probably shouldn't run this year.
Yeah, let's save her for 2036.
Let's save her. But here how on her decision, what she talked about yesterday and her decision to make the announcement on the Mississippi.
I think what we need right now in this country is less of this grandstanding and gridlock, less of the shutdowns, which we just saw, and the put downs, and much more of moving our country forward. I announced my candidacy in front of the Mississippi River for a reason. Last weekend. I didn't think it was going to be 17 degrees with a bunch of snow, but it was. And I did that because I wanted to make the point that we need to cross our river of our divides, that we need to walk over this sturdy bridge that is our democracy, and that we need to get to higher ground in our politics.
So you have Amy, who's bridging a gap, who's saying she wants to reach across the aisle and have a higher calling. Then, of course, you have Bernie with universal college for all. Then you have Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, Wealth tax.
A wealth tax to pay for universal child care for all. And you have some other people saying, you know, that are much further left. Amy was getting skewered on the talk show host today, saying moderation doesn't play. Moderation won't win. She needs fire. She needs passion. And her moderation goes against where the Democratic Party is going.
So she needs to swerve to the far left?
That's right. Now, I, as somebody who most of the time votes Democrat, not always, I don't agree with that at all. I think as a person who has voted Democrat a lot, she needs to stay in the middle. She needs to stay in the middle. We need somebody who seems more independent, not super left, not super right. We need somebody sane. We need somebody that we can believe in that will get stuff done. Free college for all would be great if it were even possible. And maybe it'll be possible in 25 years, Paul, but we live now. And when she was asked about that, the free college for all, this is what she said.
I am not for free four-year college for all, no. If I was a magic genie and could give that to everyone and we could afford it, I would. I'm just trying to find a mix of incentives and make sure kids that are in need, that's why I talked about expanding Pell Grants, can go to college and be able to afford it.
Makes sense.
If there was a money tree, it would be great. But a lot of people on the far left are saying there is a money tree. Let's tax the wealthy.
Okay,
right?
Tax the wealthy. Oh, okay. I mean, I guess.
And we do have, look, we have legitimate concerns about wealth inequality. You have a tiny percentage of Americans that are doing very, very well. The rest of us are hanging on, right? A lot of people just are not able to make ends meet.
And I'm not fundamentally opposed to a wealth tax. You know, if you earn, even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says her new tax plan that she unveiled says only after you earn $10 million in salary in 1 year, after you earn $10 million, then your tax bracket goes up.
Right.
And I thought, you know, that seems legitimate. If you earn $10 million in 1 year, that's a whole lot of money. You're going to pay the rent. You know, your kids can go to college. You can buy a yacht. You know, so maybe your tax bracket should go up after a certain amount of money. I'm not opposed to it. I'm just saying I think we need to take baby steps to get there and have real change now with things that we're suffering with, things like healthcare, things like education. I like the pie in the sky, but it takes baby steps to get there.
But what is the future of the Democrat, you know, the Democratic Party?
Is it
going to be, you know, Kamala Harris and and
Cory
Elizabeth
Booker.
Warren and Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. And what's ironic, I mean, Bernie was talking about these, you know, ultra-liberal progressive ideas a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And now others have kind of caught up. And in some ways, now he's just one of many.
Right, right. He's not the revolutionary anymore. He's not the maverick.
Yeah.
He's just the old guy who believes in what the young kids are saying also. He kind of started it, but now everybody else is jumping on that bandwagon.
But how do you go up against President Trump? And there's nothing moderate about President Trump.
No, there isn't.
Right?
And that might be her weakness because he's a bully and he's an attack dog. And I don't know. I mean, look, her moderation looks very attractive to somebody like me next to his bullying. I don't know if it will look that way to the rest of the electorate.
Can she turn out young people? Can younger people get passionate about Senator Klobuchar's campaign?
We often haven't heard her before talk about immigration. It's more of a national issue. We don't really discuss immigration here, even on our northern border. When she was asked about this, this is what Amy Klobuchar said at her town hall last night.
Comprehensive immigration reform is a mix of things. It was security money, but it was also about a path to citizenship. And we passed that in the Senate on a bipartisan basis, and then it got stuck in Paul Ryan's freezer somewhere next to the frozen peas. I don't know. It just got stuck there. And so we need to bring this back and start talking about it in that way. Because right now, all we're hearing when it comes to immigration is hateful rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've heard some of it in New Hampshire. We've certainly seen it nationally. I'll end with this one story of a family in Minnesota, of a Somali-American family who went out to dinner with their two little kids. And they're out to dinner, and this guy walks by. And he looks at them and says, "You four go home. You go home to where you came from." And the little girl looks up at her mom, and she says, "Mom, I don't want to go home to eat. You said we should eat dinner out tonight."
You think of the words of that innocent child. She only knows one home, and that's my state. That's probably your state. That's the United States of America. And we need to get back, cross the river of our divides, and get to that place again.
They liked it.
She's very eloquent. And nobody's, I have not talked to anybody or read anything that suggests that she's not bright, that she's not cerebral, mm-hmm. that she's not pragmatic. Mm-hmm. But will that play in 2020? I mean, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. what is going to incentivize voters to turn out? Is it some of the more radical ideas, you know, the Green New Deal? I mean, yeah, climate is a concern, but are we going to take a turn towards socialism or the perception of socialism to try to solve these problems? Is it command and control, the government will save us, or do we find new ways to fire up business and get businesses involved in the solutions?
That's the rhetoric, and I think that's what maybe the cable news 24-hour talk shows would like you to believe, that because President Trump is so extreme, that we will have to swing the other way. So we
have you fight fire with fire.
Yes, but even though I have lost a lot of faith in the American electorate because of our current president, I do feel that not everybody is willing to go that far. There is a place for moderation, and it's a big, wide open gap right now. And what I was hearing last night, I was hearing Amy fill that gap. She sounded more presidential than I have ever heard her sound before. I thought she was very confident. I thought she was very well. She had an answer for everything. Mm-hmm. Anything that was going to come up, she had an answer for. The last soundbite, she said it was a question about her being a tough boss. You know, you've heard that story.
Right.
The Daily Beast ran about being tough. And her answer was exceptional. She said that, yes, I am a tough boss. I expect a lot out of my people the same way the American public should expect a lot out of their elected leaders. And I got chills retelling it because that's the answer. Yeah, no, we're okay with the hard ass. Look what we have in the office right now. We're okay with someone that gets stuff done. So you can be a tough boss for the right reasons. Expect a lot out of your elected leaders. I do. And I don't know, she restored a little faith for me that there is some sanity, and there can be in Washington.
Look, the hard right and the hard left have taken over the dialogue in this country.
But not for me.
They're the vast majority, I would argue the vast majority of Americans are somewhere in the middle of the bell curve. You may lean left, you may lean right, but how do we restore some sanity and get more representation from the people in the middle of the bell curve? The common sense, moderate middle. They're not being represented right now.
It's interesting you mentioned this because, you know, gun control is such a divisive issue. Yet, she even managed to find some middle ground on gun control. This is what she had to say about that.
Like New Hampshire, Minnesota is a state that values the outdoors. We value hunting and fishing. And so I come at it from a little different place than some of my colleagues that are running for this office, in that I always look at every proposal and say, would this hurt my Uncle Dick in the deer stand? And I would say that these common sense proposals in front of us do not.
Okay, so she walked that line. She said, gun owners, sensible gun owners, I'm with you. People that, but yet we do need regulation. Mm-hmm. We do need background checks. And look, Paul, you and I, this is what we hear from many of our sensible gun owners in Minnesota. They are not opposed to background checks that work, that are enforced. They're not opposed to any of that because they ain't doing anything wrong.
Right, exactly.
But there is place for moderation even in that. Yes, more control, more regulation. Yet, if you think about Uncle Dick, how do we protect him too? Stop laughing. That's his name. Stop being an eighth grader. That's her Uncle Dick.
Uncle
that's his
Dick
name.
Up in the deer stand? Yes. I'm just picturing Uncle Dick. I don't know. I feel like I know him.
I bet he's Uncle Dick, call in. 651-989.
Somebody rescue Uncle Dick.
He's in the deer stand.
He's in the deer stand.
Don't worry, Uncle Dick. We're not taking your guns away. You'll get that buck.
You know what? At the end of the day, Americans want solutions. They want politicians who are going to move the needle and get stuff done. And we'll see. I mean, some of the stuff on the far left just makes my head spin.
Mm-hmm.
But the trick is that we're not talking about what Americans, as I do scare quotes, want here, right? It's what Democrats want. That's what she's running for right now, is the Democratic nomination. Mm-hmm. That's who she has to care about.
Right.
So when you run with a moderate platform on a party where the energy seems to be out to the left, mm-hmm. do you really have a chance to get that nomination?
I think she does.
That's the question.
I think she does.
Whether she can draw Republicans or whether she can draw independents is entirely irrelevant right now. What she needs to do is draw Democrats, because she's got to get through the primary and the caucus.
And I think it's premature to say how that will play out. How will she play in California and in New York State mm-hmm. and New Jersey and Massachusetts? Will her message resonate? Mm-hmm. But, hey, we'll see.
Look, I'm totally biased. I like Amy. I think she's done a good job for Minnesota. Again, I believe in what she was saying, because I'm not that far left. I'm that moderate middle of the road. And she was speaking my language last night. It was working for me. It's also 5:48. That is a Wicks and Jewelers time check. No better time to sell your valuables. Wicks and Jewelers currently offering free, no obligation consultations with expert estate buyer. Welcome back. It's 5:53. So you take Leo on. Oh, before this, we need to tell you what's coming up on Jimmy and Dave Lee's show tomorrow.
Jimmy's show.
Well, we get a text from Jimmy.
Wow.
Because they're either going to have
either Governor Walz mm-hmm. or Senator Klobuchar. Maybe they're going to be on together singing a duet. That would be kind of cool. Haven't heard that before.
They're probably both going to be on the show. We just don't know. We got conflicting reports as to which one's going to be on at 7:20.
Listen to the whole show.
There'll be a big guest tomorrow morning
at 7:20. At 7:20. So maybe, like, if they were going to sing a duet, Ebony and Ivory.
That would, well.
Islands in the Stream.
We Are the World.
Okay. What do we want to hear Amy and Governor Walz sing together?
I
stop dragging my heart around.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it.
We're taking your requests.
Yeah.
It's like bad karaoke. That could work.
It might be good.
And Corey Heppala?
Heppala is still down in Fort Myers. We're all horribly jealous.
Where it got up to 90 today. He tweeted that out.
I
hope he got heat stroke.
Right. He better stop, because I will unfollow him so fast on Twitter, and that will be very painful
for Corey will learn the hard way. Yeah. There's certain things you don't tweet
Not
out.
Heat stroke. That's a little much. Maybe what's exhaustion?
Heat exhaustion.
That's the next thing.
Some heat exhaustion.
Yeah, some blisters in an uncomfortable location.
Maybe
sunburn in a bad spot. Yeah.
So he starts peeling when he's coming home.
Something like that.
We'd feel better about that.
I would.
Schadenfreude.
Yeah. But tune in tomorrow for Corey, 9 o'clock. He'll be down at Fort Myers. I think Justin Morneau amongst the twins that's going to join him tomorrow.
Excellent. So wear sunscreen, Corey.
Makes me happy hearing twins.
Yeah,
that game on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's going to mean just hearing the baseball sounds is going to be blissful.
A salve for the soul.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Back to the story about Rosedale Center. You walk Leo. When you walk Leo, do you pick up after his mess outside?
Yeah, number two. Right.
Apparently in Rosedale Center, people have not been cleaning up after their dogs are peeing during the mall walking with your dog hours. And Rosedale Center says, you know what? We're done. No pets allowed. You may not bring your dogs in here. Every Sunday, pets were allowed to walk the mall with their owners to get some exercise out from the cold. Dog walking hours were 9 to 11, but they moved them back to 8 to 10 so they could continue to clean up the mall before the shoppers got there.
Hmm.
Now they're saying,
how'd you like that gig?
The mess. I know, right? The messes are so bad. We have to stop the dog walking hours.
That's too bad.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
But you know what, folks? Clean up the pee. If you own a dog and it pees in the mall, clean it up.
But if you're part of a parade and you're walking around, you know,
take a minute.
You don't want to stop. You just want to keep going, right?
No. I'm sorry that you're getting your exercise and your
dogs
steps
pee.
In.
It happens.
What? Okay, fine. But you can clean it up.
My dog has the freedom.
I know.
To pee where my and
mall,
when he wants.
When I'm trying to go get a pair of jeans, I'm not walking through a puddle of your dog's pee.
You can circumvent. You can walk around the little yellow puddle.
Dan just wants to go to the American Eagle and get his ripped jeans.
American Eagle.
American Eagle.
Hollister Dan, maybe that's it. PacSun.
No, American Eagle guys in Fort Myers. Right now.
PacSun. I'm just trying to think of those other half-naked men walking around.
PacSun.
That Dan Cook shops in. I don't know. Either way, sorry, Rosedale. Sorry, Pops.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Tune in to Dave Lee's show tomorrow.
Yep.
For Amy or Governor or both. I'm going for Islands in the Stream.
Karaoke. Yeah, let's do it.
We'll see you tomorrow. Jordana here for my friend John Schuster. I know you're thinking, Jor, we even have to walk our dogs inside the mall. Who's going to want my house in this terrible weather? John has people lined up ready to buy it. Chris and Blaine was looking to upsize, need an agent who would get the maximum amount of equity out of his home and find the dream home. John and his team sold Chris's house in less than a week. Forget this, $15,000 over list price. And then, of course, John found him a great new home. It was an awesome deal, and it can happen for you, too. John sold my home. He sold Paul's home. He's got a guarantee. If your house doesn't sell, he buys it from you. It is a no-lose situation. JohnSchusterGroup.com, or you can give him a call. 952-333-SOLD. He's got a guarantee and buyers lined up. John Schuster Group, 952-333-SOLD. Tell him Jordana sent you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.